Welcome back to another episode of Mike and Beans here. We haven't been with you for a while. I think it's been about a month. But we got through the holidays. College basketball never stopped, obviously. And we're back with another episode here on this Wednesday. Well, Mike, we're getting closer to March. And conference play is in full swing. And I think last week I saw 22 of the 25 top 25 teams lost at least once last week. It was a crazy week. Iowa State went down. Florida went down. Alabama went down. Well, the two teams that didn't go down were Auburn and Duke, the top two teams in the AP poll this week. Auburn remains number one. Duke is number two. But they flip-flop in KenPom. Regardless, those are the two best teams right now. What we're going to first talk about is the Purdue Boilermakers. They lost last night in Mackey Arena. Can you believe it, Mike? They lost in Mackey Arena at home to Ohio State. First loss in Mackey Arena in almost 2 years. Last time they lost there was February 25th, 2023. Ohio State comes back from a 16-point deficit and upsets Purdue at home. Trey Kaufman-Renton, 26 points, 7 rebounds. Really good game from him. Braden Smith, off night, just 12 points on 3 of 14 shooting. Ohio State's Micah Parrish with a career-high 22 points. Ohio State got hot in that second half. 8 of 12 from 3 in the final half. They outscored Purdue 45-29 in the last 20 minutes. From the 7:22 mark to the 2:24 mark in the second half, Purdue didn't score. Purdue had won 7 games in a row. They went on the road and defeated Oregon, and then they drop a game at home to an Ohio State team that is not great. Just your initial thoughts on Purdue's loss last night, Mike.
Yeah, Ohio State also turned the ball over 18 times, and Braden Smith didn't have a great shooting game, but he had 8 assists to 1 turnover. Just looking at those things, it's like, okay, Ohio State would lose this game by 15 points. And they were down 16 points and had a 3% win probability at the very end of the first half and found a way to win. I think one thing they did well, just looking at the box score here, is they ran Purdue off the three-point line. Purdue only attempted 9 threes, made 3 of them, but they only got 9 up. So they did a good job running them off three-point line in Ohio State. As you mentioned, 8-12 from 3 in the second half, 11-23 on the game. That's probably the only way they were going to win it, and they executed that part of the game plan well. But, yeah, I don't know. Purdue going to Oregon, holding them on this really long drought out of the first half and winning, out of the second half, excuse me, and winning, then having the exact same thing happen to them in the next game. This Purdue angle's weird. Because at one point, it's like, all right, you're talking about them as a top 10 team going into Oregon and winning. Then they blow a game to a shit Ohio State team. I don't know. It's weird.
Like you said, you don't know what Ohio State you're going to get. And it depends on a half basis. Like, I remember I watched the Ohio State-Wisconsin game last week. Again, same story here. They went down big in the first half early. They almost came back to beat Wisconsin at the last second. Here, same exact thing. Struggling in the first half, caught fire in the second half. They're just not consistent. Probably one of the most inconsistent teams, you know, in the country. They're 11-8. They just have 3 wins in the Big Ten.
It should be 2. Minnesota should have won that game 5 times.
You kind of look at this loss with Purdue. You're almost like, okay, what Purdue are we going to get? You know, yeah. And you know they still, you know, with the loss last night, I think they're tied for second with Michigan right now in the Big Ten standings. But, you know, on the outlook of this Purdue team, you're like, can they win the Big Ten? Do you think Purdue can win the Big Ten?
Still, I think so. I mean, you got 2 losses. Michigan State's in the lead with none, but you do play Michigan State later. You're probably going to have to win that game in the Breslin Center, which is not going to be easy. But if you want to win the league, you're going to have to, and I think they'll be live in that game. So I still think they can. It's an uphill battle at this point, but they're not dead by any means.
I think the Big Ten is one of those conferences that is open. It might be top heavy, but at the same time, you're seeing it with both the Big Ten and the SEC, is that any team can lose on any given night. Yes, that's college, but that's college basketball, you know, in, you know, a big picture as well. But, you know, you have Michigan State, who hasn't lost a Big Ten game yet. And then you go Michigan, Purdue. And then you have a couple of the teams out west. You have, you know, UCLA. Oregon as well. But what kind of gets me a little questionable about Purdue for me is that the resume isn't bad. However, they have a lot of ranked losses. They couldn't beat Marquette. They couldn't beat Texas A&M in Indianapolis. So that was kind of a home game for them. And then they got ran out of the gym by Auburn. Well, given that a lot of what Auburn is doing is running their opponents out of the gym. And then a loss to Penn State on the road. Penn State up and cut, you know, that program's on the rise, but still seeing a lot of inconsistency out of Penn State. I think they're 13-6. Not bad, but not great. And then obviously this loss against Ohio State. How consistent will this Purdue team be when it comes time in March? But again, the Big Ten, it's open. I mean, you see last week, last weekend, USC goes on the road to beat Illinois. Minnesota last week beat Michigan on a buzzer beater. There's no easy game in this conference. Do I think Purdue can win this conference? Yes, because of kind of the inconsistencies of the other teams in this conference. But if I were to pick a team to win right now, I would go with Michigan just because of those 2 7-foot monsters in the paint, Danny Wolf and Golden. That's me. Do I think Purdue can still win this conference? Without a doubt. I just think Purdue's inability to beat that, you know, really, really good team may come back to haunt them. I know they have that win at Oregon, but Oregon hasn't been the most consistent team either. I'll stop ranting, and I'll hand it over to you for this final combo, Mike, on this topic.
Yeah, to your point on Michigan real quick, they go to Mackey Friday. That's going to be a huge game. But then after that, KenPom has them projected to win every single game on their schedule before Michigan State March 9th. So, I mean, they host Penn State at Rutgers, who has been really on and off this year, host Oregon at Indiana, who blows, home to Purdue. They're probably going to have to split the series with Purdue if they do want to win the league. At Ohio State, that's going to be a tough game. But, again, Ohio State's bipolar. Host Michigan State at Nebraska, tough place to play, but, like, they're not that good. Host Rutgers, host Illinois, host Maryland. You don't have to go at any of those teams who are pretty good. You host Illinois just once. Host Maryland, bad. I mean, they have opportunities to win the league. I think a lot of it will come out of schedule, and I think Michigan's schedule is pretty favorable. So they're live as well. As to agree with your point, they're also very live.
You know, we talked about this team a little bit earlier, but Auburn. Auburn Tigers, number one team in the country according to the AP poll. They're the number two team in KenPom. 17-1. The one loss to Duke in a really good game. That loss came on the road. And, you know, Auburn has had to fight a little bit. Just a 2-point win against number 23 ranked Georgia Bulldogs over the weekend on the road. Got that one out. But since January 11th, they have been doing this. And they're still winning in the SEC, undefeated in the SEC play right now. They've been doing it all without star player Jonai Broome. Sprained his ankle in the January 11th game against South Carolina. If he didn't get injured, you could possibly see him on the way to winning the Wooden Award. But you'd think Auburn would go cold without their best player, right? Well, think again. That's kind of not how it's going, and that shows how good this team is. It's still the number one rated team in adjusted offensive efficiency. How about Tahad Pettiford? 24 points against Georgia on Saturday. He's averaged 18 per game since Broome has gone out with the injury. He's been Auburn's guy since Bruce Pearl has lost his best player, and they continue to roll. I think if you look at the AP poll, they have 6 wins over ranked teams in today's current AP poll. Wins over Houston, Iowa State, Mississippi State, Memphis as well. And most of them haven't been close. I mean, the Iowa State game and Houston game and the Georgia game, close, but blew out Missouri, blew out Mississippi State. And they killed, I think, North Carolina. Did they play North Carolina? Anyway.
Yeah, they beat them by 13.
Yeah. They beat North Carolina pretty handily. Auburn has been great. This team is special. They've just been consistent. They've been winning without their best players. Well, they have a big test on Saturday against Tennessee, the game of the week. And I'll leave it over to you. How impressed are you with this Auburn team, with the fact that they've been playing without their best player for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, you mentioned it with Tahad Pettiford. He's just really stepped up in some of these key moments. He played really well in some of their games in Maui, and then he's stepping up here again, just showing you that he's a big time player. He is really, he's mature for a freshman, and he is just an excellent scorer. I mean, 44%, we'll call it, from three on the season, 45% from the field. Just knows how to make enough plays. And he is like a Bruce Pearl guard because he's a shot hunting point. Fits that. But like, I've been impressed with some of like the rotation guys. Like Chaney Johnson gave you really good minutes. Chad Baker Mazzara also did in some of these games. That those guys are really stepping up into taking on more prominent roles. And those are guys they got from JUCO, D2. They just find these guys that fit their vision. And they just, I mean, it's really impressive that you're doing all this without Jani Broome, who leads the team in points, rebounds, assists, and blocks. They're just finding a way. And granted, I think they matched up really well with Mississippi State, which enabled them to just blow the doors off Mississippi State. And they were winning that Georgia game fairly handily until some late game shenanigans, but they found a way to win that game too. I don't know. I like this team a lot. I don't know if they'll be able to replicate that against Tennessee, who I think is one of the best 5-7 teams in the country, but they've been impressive, and no doubt this is, especially when they get Broome back, they're going to be a national title contender. I mean, I'm not shocking anyone by saying that, but the obvious is obvious for a reason.
Yeah, the next few weeks for Auburn, it's not the most difficult. It's also not the easiest. You know, obviously they have Tennessee. They're playing that at home. It's, you know, in the SEC, it is almost impossible to get a road win. You know, unless you're not a really great team. I mean, we saw even, you know, last week, Georgia almost put off the upset at home against Auburn. So that's a good win for Auburn. Tennessee got blown out a couple weeks ago by Florida by, you know, 30 points in Gainesville. But then also Missouri goes and beats Florida last week. This conference said it all, you know, all year and all the episodes that we've done. The SEC is a gauntlet. Yeah, I kind of see this Auburn and Tennessee game kind of going both ways. I think you know, Tennessee's coming off of pretty poor loss to Vanderbilt on Saturday, but they bounced back and beat Mississippi State. That's two straight losses for Mississippi State, I believe, or maybe two losses in their last three games. But then, you know, then the next week, Auburn goes to LSU, and then they're on the road again at Ole Miss, which we haven't talked about Ole Miss a bunch. Don't think we're going to dive into the Rebels, but they've been ranked pretty for most of the year. They've been doing well. Then Oklahoma, and then they go to Florida. So it's like you get a top 20 team once a week. That's what the SEC is.
Yeah, the SEC is the best league in the sport. It's really not close. I mean, we were talking about it on the Butler game yesterday that I was watching. There's a chance the SEC gets like 11 bids, and that would tie a record that the Big East set way back, like 20. I don't remember the year, but like in the old Big East era, the SEC is just that good. It's that dominant of a conference. You mentioned like you're playing a top 20 team every week.
Circle back to the Big Ten. Obviously, we talked about Purdue, kind of talked about the, you know, who can you see coming out of the Big Ten? Well, we've seen this past weekend on Sunday, Michigan State and Illinois played a really, really good game that the Spartans came out on top. I think it was 80-78. I want to talk more about Michigan State because I think they're one of the more interesting teams in college basketball this year. Tom Izzo's team didn't start ranked this year, and now they are in the top 10 at number 8, undefeated in Big Ten play. They are on an 11-game win streak. This is the best start in Big Ten play for them since the 2018-2019 season. And that year, they went to the Final Four, upset that Duke team with Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, and RJ Barrett that year in the Elite Eight to the advance to the Final Four. Spartans have one guy who is averaging double digits, only one guy. It's Jane Aitkins. He's averaging 13.4 points per game. So, you know, Illinois in the game on Sunday against Michigan State played pretty much the majority without Gasparis Jakuchonis, their star freshman, had 5 fouls and only, I think, played 9 minutes in the game because of the foul trouble. And it's interesting. I wanted to talk about kind of both these teams because back when Illinois played Tennessee, we were like, oh, this team's too young. Who are they going to go to? Well, it's this freshman, and over the past couple weeks, people have been saying, at least I've seen in the media, that they're talking about Brad Underwood as a possible Coach of the Year candidate. because the team that went to the Elite Eight last year, they had to replace pretty much all of those players. And Illinois is, in once again, in the Big Ten hunt. So I guess my question to you, Mike, is between Michigan State and Illinois, which is the team that you're more interested in? Is it Michigan State, who's off to a really hot start in the Big Ten, or is it Illinois, who's kind of forming into being a really, really good group?
I think as of now, my answer would be Michigan State. If you ask me the question a month from now, I expect my answer is going to be Illinois. I think just Michigan State's winning games. Like you mentioned, they're on an 11-game win streak. That's the second longest win streak in the country, only to Duke, who frankly could win out, and it wouldn't surprise anybody. Michigan State's not going to win out. I'll say that right now. They're not going to win out. But I just think the way this team is constructed is interesting. You mentioned they only have one guy, Jaden Akins, scoring in double figures. And aside from that, you're getting Jace Richardson, 9.2 points a game. Frankie Fiddler, 9. Cohen Carr, 8.6. Holloman, 8.1. Jeremy Fear, 7.9, 7.9, blah, 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 blah. You get the idea. Very balanced. But also one thing they do really well is they move the ball really well. They have the 6 highest assists per field goals made ratio. They're moving the ball really well. And they don't shoot the 3 well at all. They are one of the worst high major teams at three-point shooting. They only shoot it at 28.8%. And they don't get really any of their points from three because they don't take any threes either. So this is just kind of an old-school Tom Izzo team. They want to push the pace. They want to get the ball going up and down the floor. They move the ball really well. They get to the free throw line well. They rebound offensively. They score inside the arc. Cannot shoot for shit. So I think that kind of caps the ceiling, but they're just winning games. And in this spot, you get Illinois' Kasparis Strekaciones in foul trouble. And a lot of what Illinois does really revolves around him because he has a ton of size and is just dynamite in the pick and roll, pick and pop, whatever it is, that he's, for the most part, going to make the right decision. If you don't have a guy that can bully him off his spot, it's going to be tough to guard. And I don't really know if Michigan State did. So getting him in foul trouble was enough to maybe you probably throw a Cohen Carr on him. It would cause problems. But getting him in foul trouble is enough to just completely constrict their offense. And that's exactly what it did. You got Strekaciones in foul trouble. A lot of what Michigan State does aside from that isn't much, but they got a good game from Colin Boswell. But this Michigan State team, they just find a way to win. It's impressive. And in that game, it was Trey Holloman was really cooking. He was getting to the line well, 5-6 from inside the arc, didn't hit a 3. But I don't know. I just think long-term, Michigan State's definitely a team that I think has a capped ceiling. But I think it's kind of interesting just seeing how they're succeeding for the time being. They're an interesting team to watch for me.
Yeah. And are you surprised? You know, it's like you think to yourself, are you surprised to hear that a Tom Izzo team is just finding ways to win? They're probably one of the most unselfish teams in the country. You know, they have 10 players who average 14 minutes or more. They share the ball. Only one guy averaging over double digits. And you can just, you see, they fight. They're gritty. They're a gritty team. And they're off to an undefeated start in the Big Looking ahead, I mean, they don't have a ranked opponent until February 8th against Oregon at home. But you know, what we've seen is these West Coast road trips for the, you know, Midwest or East Coast teams. So starting February 1st and February 4th, that's their USC and UCLA West Coast road trip. Have we seen kind of these East Coast teams go out and have success out on the West? Kind of. Actually, Oregon's lost a couple home games. I think you see more that when the West Coast teams go out east, that's where they struggle. But I think that's going to be a major test for Tom Izzo's squad. You know, Rutgers has not been playing to their full potential, I don't think. Then Minnesota's not off to a great start in the Big Ten. So I think that West Coast road trip, you might still see Michigan State have an undefeated Big Ten record then. But you're switching time zones. You're going to warm weather. Who knows what will happen? Michigan State's a really cool story, I think. And Tom Izzo has his squad ready, have it prepped, and he has a gritty team on his hands. The last time they started like this in the Big Ten, they went to the Final Four. We'll see what happens next.
Yeah, agreed. And you mentioned the West Coast trip. I just looking at it very briefly, it looks like Michigan was able to go on the West Coast. They beat USC by 11 and then beat UCLA the game after that by 19. So, I mean, look, if you want to end up winning the league and beating that Michigan team, that's really good. You play them twice, but also you go on the road trip that they swept. You probably got to sweep that too if you want to make a statement. And that's definitely possible, but that UCLA game for them will be tough.
Yeah. Well, like we said, game of the week, Auburn versus Tennessee on Saturday. Good to be back. Should be back with another episode next week. Thanks for joining on another episode of Mike and Beans. We catch you later. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.